Hallelujah. Blessed be Jesus. We want to focus on Galatians chapter 3 from verses 10, and we want to go all the way to 29. And the main thing we want to look at is to understand the relationship between the law and the promises of God. This is in the time of Abraham, our father of faith. And we want to follow through and see what happened for 30 years after Abraham. So we are looking at a span of about 400 years from the time Abraham was called by God, a man of faith, and the time the law was introduced. We began by the previous session, we began by seeing the challenge, Paul giving a challenge to these backsliding believers. And he was asking, who has bewitched you? And he said, the name bewitch means to control the mind. Is the ability to control the mind of a person. And one of the ways to control the mind of a person is to try and use the law, is try and bring things that are said. This so that whenever you want to do anything, you are thinking is over, you know, overthrown by the law. You know, when somebody says that is the law of God, it means you cannot be able to have anything by yourself. You cannot think. You cannot be able to put your mind into action. Why? Somebody says, it's, you know, the law says this. And so you have to follow the law. So some people just follow the law blindly. Well, the Bible says that God has given us freedom. We want to understand that when God called Abraham, he called him, and Abraham followed God by faith. Abraham was definitely the first Jew. He was called from the Gentile world, of course. He was separated from the rest of his brothers. Remember, he was from the family of Noah. One, Noah had three sons, and Abraham came from one, you know, descendants of one of the sons. So they were all sons of Noah. So you ask yourself, how did they change that one son of Noah is called a Jew, another one is called a Gentile? They were all sons of Noah. But it is the God who called somebody. He called Abraham. He was called Abram by then. But God told him, come, follow me. And he followed him by faith. By the time he followed him, he was not circumcised. By the time he followed him, he believed by faith. And after 25 years was the time that Abraham was being circumcised. Now, these agitators were telling the Gentiles that they must be circumcised first so that they can follow Abraham. Or Abraham, or the way of Abraham. But Paul is saying that was not the way of Abraham. The way of Abraham was he followed by faith, then to show that he had faith, he was circumcised. So circumcision was not the cause of faith. It was a result. It was a proof that they were already in the covenant of faith. And so here, we will look at the distinction between the law and the promise of faith, or what we are calling the covenant of promise. You will discover that after Abraham lived by faith for all the years, for 30 years, that is after the children of Israel had gone to Egypt, and they had lived in Egypt in the time of Moses, who came for 30 years, God introduced the law. So the discussion will be, does the law that was introduced 30 years after nullify the promise? Not at all. Then you'll be asked, then why was the law introduced while people were walking by faith. Why did God allow or God introduce the law? Because God is the one who introduced the law. You discover it was because of the hardness of the heart. And again, the law, we will discover, was introduced to become a tutor that would take us to the promised faith. Because when God promised through Abraham, he said it is Abraham and his seed, who is Jesus. And Jesus was the fulfillment of faith. And so the law was introduced to take us, to usher us in, even to the fulfillment of the promise, that is to Jesus. But once Jesus came on scene, the law stopped. The law ceased. It was no longer effective. And we need to understand that there are some things we do today, but once we have completed them, once the fulfillment of what was promised come, what we was doing by the law stopped. For example, before Jesus came, the Israelites would sacrifice animals. They would shed blood. Like just, it was like our traditional fathers. They would shed the blood. And the blood was good. The blood was in place. It was a symbol. It was a type of Jesus, or the blood of Jesus. But now after Jesus came on scene, it would be wrong for them to continue to pour the blood of bulls and animals. And so here, let's read a little and look at the difference between the law and the promise of Jesus Christ. For all who rely on the works of the law are under curse. As it is written, cursed is anyone who does not continue to everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one could rely on the law. Clearly, no one who rely on the law is justified before God, because the righteous shall live by faith. The law is not based on faith. Look at this. Law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does things, these things, will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who is hung on the pole. So Jesus became the curse. He took the law. He became curse, and he fulfilled the law. Because the Bible says cursed is the one who is cursed on the tree, he's cursed. So when Jesus was cursed, he took our place. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, you see, we can only receive the promise that was given through Abraham through Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is not there, the promises given to Abraham that you become the father of nations, that would only be possible through Christ. So even as Abraham was trying to become a father of nation all through, he would not manage it, because it was until Jesus came that it would be fulfilled. Look at the law and the promise here. Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Yes, just as no one can set aside or add to human covenant that was being duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say "and to his seeds," meaning many people, but "and to your seed," meaning one person, who is Christ. That was the promise. It was for Jesus. It was Abraham, and that promise was for Jesus, the seed of Abraham, because Jesus came through the Jewish tribe. What it means is this. The law introduced for 30 years, that is the time of Moses, does not set aside the covenant previously established. So the covenant of promise was already established, and the law coming for 30 years does not set aside that covenant, because it was established. It cannot do away with those promises. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it is no longer depends on the promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. Why then was the law given at all? Let's finish up by looking at what is this is the purpose of the law that was given for that years. Because I know people will be asking then, why did God allow the law to come? It was added because of transgression. That's what the Bible says in verse 19. The law was added because of the transgression. Until the seed, until Jesus, to whom the promise referred to, had come. So the law was given so that it could help us to know that we have already, we have transgressed. It was a mirror. It was a torch to make us know how far we are from the promise. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. In the law, therefore, is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. The law was not opposed to the promises. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness could certainly have come by the law. But scripture has locked up everything under control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Children of God, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come could be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, praise God, we are no longer under the guardian. We are no longer under the law. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Jesus, having clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew or Gentile, no slave, no free, it's no male, no female, for you are all one in Christ. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I want you to realize that we are talking about that the purpose of the law was given because of a transgression. It was a tutor. It was given until the law or the promise of the seed, that is Jesus, came. So after Jesus has come, we are no longer under the law. We are under the grace. Father, open our eyes to know that we are under your grace, under your enablement. We don't live by our actions. We don't add anything to our righteousness. Our righteousness, Father, is like filth garments. We depend on the imputed righteousness of Jesus. So, Father, help us to trust in your righteousness, only in you, and help us not to be bewitched again, in Jesus' name.